I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Hi, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a very interesting show in store for you this evening, jam-packed with information as usual. We'll be talking about crop circles, sacred geometry, and how these codes of the cosmos are transmissions of the language of light, and who made the crop circles. We'll also expand on the idea of the spiral of consciousness that is happening on the planet at this time. And also some fascinating new cures for most diseases known to man. But before we get into all that, I would like to express my thanks, appreciation, and gratitude to our listening audience just for being you, as usual. And also special thanks for those who took time to email me this week with their suggestions about program content, or sharing of ideas with their successes using techniques they have learned on ET Yoga. And also I'd like to mention, especially to those people who have been tuning into ET Yoga for a long time, that over the course of the last 2 years, I've sort of developed a fair amount of debt producing this program, and I'm in need of a sponsor for the program to the tune of about $250 a month. And if that doesn't happen over the next couple weeks, there'll only be a couple more ET Yoga programs. So if anybody out there is interested in sponsoring this program, much appreciated. And for those who even want to make a small contribution, you can do that by sending any contributions to info@maxwellgreensite.com. That's my PayPal address, and that's at info@maxwellgreensite.com. I'd also like to mention, for those of you who have not emailed me with either questions or comments concerning your successes, you can always email me at paperfungo@yahoo.ca. That's paper as in paper, F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo, all one word, paperfungo@yahoo.ca. And before we get into our discussion tonight about the crop circles and sacred geometry, I'd like to pass on some information concerning Lawrence Gardner's 1 hour and 20 minute YouTube production. And this site, experiments, show, that in 2002 and 2003, monoatomic elements were effective in extensive research as a trigger on unlocking dormant parts of the brain. Tests prove highly effective for dyslexia and ADHD. Results were immediate and cumulative, reflecting greater intelligence and better balance between left and right brain, and conclusions were that monoatomics could make a significant difference in longevity, awareness, and creativity as byproducts. And I thought this information would be particularly useful for those people who have children with dyslexia and ADHD. And that's Lawrence Gardner's 1 hour and 20 minute YouTube video. And also, I'd like to recommend David Hudson's lectures 1, 2, and 3 that can be Google searched. Also in the area of disease, if you haven't checked out Jim Humble's interview at Project Camelot, he has a new discovery called Miracle Mineral Supplement, and it's related to cures for Alzheimer's disease, arthritis, autism, most types of cancer, chemotherapy, herpes, and MS. Quite a fascinating product that's sort of out there under the radar, so to speak, and one that you might really want to check out. Also, Drew from Connecticut has emailed me with the information concerning Janosch Sacred Geometry, and that's J-A-N-O-S-H, Sacred Geometry at Sounds True. And they have a kit for sale there at $29.95. And I'd like to share with you a description of that kit. Is there a geometric design to the universe? The ancient Greeks, Mayans, and Egyptians and others believe so, as evidenced by their use of nature's recurring mathematical patterns in architecture, music, language, and more. Today, this sacred geometry finds new expression in the creations of Dutch graphic artist Janosch. With sacred geometry, Janosch shares the life-changing gifts revealed to him in a series of meditative visions he received from an energetic intelligence he calls the Arcturians. The kit includes contemplation cards, tracing paper for kinesthetic experience with holograms that imprints their underlying messages into your consciousness, a journal and study guide explaining the principles and practical application of sacred geometry, and a 56-minute CD for relaxation and focus while contemplating Janosch art. And that's Sounds True at $29.95. So thanks, Drew, for that heads up on that. And for a long time, we've been talking about another product called HemiSync Gaia Sacred Geometry. And that was the 2007 Multimedia Product of the Year. And it's selling now for $42.95, and it's what they call the Codes of the Cosmos. And basically, these are animated crop circles. And I used to use these for meditation before they became a for sale product, and find they are excellent. And amazingly, from David Wilcox's site, Divine Cosmos, studies show that the majority of viruses have a perfect sacred geometry within their structure, most commonly seen as the icosahedron. Russian pyramid studies clearly showed that higher intensity torsion fields automatically out-resonate anything that could be harmful to life, even turning toxic poisons into inert, safe substances. And using Egyptian healing rods is like spending time in a pyramid. The studies have also shown that using Egyptian pyramids for 7 minutes is like a half an hour of acupuncture. They balance the internal time clocks, stimulate the immune system, and activate higher chakras. And certainly this balancing of the yin-yang energy flows in the body is highly important with respect to maintaining excellent health, because when there are problems in the body, usually it's this flow that has a disruption someplace. And also, with reference to a specific technique that you can use with crop circles or the Janosch Sacred Geometry with just the pictures, the beautiful colored pictures that are used in Janosch Sacred Geometry, you can use these around your water sources, because as we have mentioned many times in ET Yoga, water is a perfect reflector of consciousness, and it's not only a reflector of emotion but also of music and visual symbols. So I like to use Bach and Beethoven around the water that I drink, as well as yogic yantras. And also the crop circles would be excellent in this way as well. And expanding on the idea of the crop circles from Palladian information, we get that geometric shapes are simply symbols. A higher intelligence or a higher being is the symbol. The symbol is representative of higher intelligence. When you use the geometric shapes, you symbolically call the higher intelligence, whose sum total of identity is that sacred geometry. For example, each of the ascended masters throughout the course of Earth history penetrated the frequency control here on Earth and with great diligence and great commitment evolved beyond the system and became a master of ascension, moved beyond the lock. Each one created a language form, a sacred geometric shape that was the sum total of their knowledge, their essence, for example, and as an example of this, the Maltese Cross and Saint Germain. When you use these shapes, you are literally receiving the shapes from other forms of intelligence that really transform reality. The sum total of experience of an ascended master is a form, a symbol that we call the language of light. It is made up of a geometric shape. Each one of them has their own symbol for transforming realities. These geometric shapes literally share their intelligence, the sum total of who they are as they are anchored onto the planet. And to encapsulate, the geometric shapes are the symbolic representation of a collective of intelligence, what could be called the ascended masters, supreme beings who transformed themselves on this planet, created a language of light geometry based on the sum total of what they knew about transforming reality. Each geometric form represents a specific form of intelligence, and each geometric shape is the symbol of a certain collection of intelligence. Certain shapes have a more gentle energy, and certain shapes are the beginning shapes. The tetrahedron, for example, is one of the primary shapes of intelligence, a symbol of a language of light geometry that has its own intelligence, and a product that I wear and would recommend crystal tetrahedrons. Crop circles are another version of this sacred geometry. The crop circles are made by sound as geometric memory teasers. They allow the geometric shapes to come into your system because those crop circles create a frequency all over your globe. They are a language. And you are coded to look at these crops and respond to these things. You will find that there are certain angles that will literally have a master code within the angle based upon the combination of adding certain numbers of the angles together. It is a very complex communication system. And it was utilized in India eons ago. It was utilized in many of the ancient civilizations. And these angles communicate something. And when you see one of these forms, or you see a photograph of it, it's like a firing of a code so that your body literally remembers something. In your reality, what you consider to be master numbers, like 11, 22, 33, 44, 55, 66, etc., they are numbers where the digits are the same. There are combinations of master numbers based on angles of geometry that access codes of intelligence. And these geometric shapes hold combinations that make codes when they are combined in certain ways. And codes are needed to create certain forms of life and to create openings through doorways. The master numbers are needed to find one's way through a black hole and to enter many different dimensions within this particular universe or to even go into other universes. And according to the Palladians, what you're going to have in your homes to stimulate you will be geometric shapes. They will be energy balancers. And as evolving light beings, there will come a time when every one of you will have these geometric shapes in different places around your house, teach you to pull in a blueprint so that it affects your body. You are looking into something beyond logic that your body knows that your conscious human being cannot rationalize. The basic geometric shapes are imprinted into the body. What they do is that they assist the body to remember its identity. And that creates a healing. When the sacred geometry is used in this way, it is like inviting the intelligence into your body. The gentle, easier ones are used first to open you up and connect you. Later on, they are more complex and they create a changing of the endocrine system in the body so that there are new secretions and new chemical substances that are unheard of at this time and that will create a chemical reaction to evolve humans. And as an example of some of this coding and firing of codes, I'd like to pass on that the psychic children had mentioned that the dolphin crop circle in Alton Barnes, Wiltshire, in the UK, and that's from August 14, 2002, and they say there is a code in this crop circle that only your subconscious mind will comprehend. It may reveal your own role or how you can contribute to the world of peace and compassion. It is so important that people all over the world see this crop circle, for it will activate you in ways your mind cannot understand. And one of the best CDs I've seen concerning the makers of the crop circles was by Dronvalo Melchizedek. And he mentions that there are actually three sources for the creation of the crop circles. One comes from a consciousness from the inner earth, one comes from ascended masters, and the other is from extraterrestrials, and most notably, in my opinion, is the Arcturians. And the Pleiadians also mentioned that the crop circles have been most prevalent in England and throughout Europe. However, they're also in the area previously known as the Soviet Union and in South America. They are even in the United States, although some people are doing a good job of pretending they are not there. We understand that some of your news broadcasters are planning upcoming shows about these crop circles. We'll see how much they pretend they don't know about them. It's going to be interesting. These geometric shapes are like hieroglyphs. The hieroglyphs and pictographs carved in stone on this planet are a similar generation of intelligence. In other words, if one were to read the hieroglyphs based on the Rosetta Stone, the hieroglyphs would communicate one thing. If one were able to remember the secret language of the priests, the hieroglyphs would tell another story. And if one were able to understand the language of the creator gods, they would say something entirely different. The circles and shapes being put on Earth are here to assist you in holding and managing your frequency and having the courage to live your light. They make frequency information available in a very subtle way, and no one can figure them out yet. These shapes are all connected to one another, and if they were all written out simultaneously on some farmer's field, something would happen to them immediately. They are spaced from one continent to another, and they move a frequency band around the planet that will help activate Earth's grid work. They will allow you not to feel so weird with what you know and to feel more comfortable with the changes in frequency as they occur. This is just a little bit of what the crop circles do. They are quite interesting. Many of them are designed and constructed by what some call ascended masters. There is also a joke behind them. You must understand that some beings, as they become very evolved, develop a tremendous sense of humor. They see the humor in all things. As we have said, geometric shapes and forms are carriers of intelligence. They are frequency waves that can be modulated and changed. The shapes coming onto the earth are like energy gates or energy glyphs. They hold intelligence and are being set up to eventually connect and make an intelligent grid work around the planet. This grid work will have a frequency that humanity can use to evolve. The whole language is not on the planet at this time. The glyphs come onto Earth as a result of a certain evolvement of consciousness. They work with places that are vortex centers that are now drawing them in. Over the billions of years that Earth has been in orbit, these centers have been covered over and buried. Some have gone into dormancy, and many of them are being reawakened because the seal around the planet has been penetrated. The crop circles are phenomenological expressions of consciousness. They come into your reality to show you that the reasoning mind cannot control all of the data, much as it would like to. These events occur to interact with the coding of consciousness of all human beings. Whenever reality cannot be explained, a certain niche is opened within consciousness. The crop circles are completely beyond the logical mind. Therefore, they force the consensus view of reality to expand, since reality, as formally designed, cannot house these events as a possibility. They are a trigger. They force reality to move beyond its own limitations. There are a number of reasons for the existence of the crop circles. Basically, they exist to force reality to move, to get you feeling rather than thinking. Most who explore these circles think their way through the circles rather than feel their way through them. Great Britain is having a rash of them because, in general, the British have a very logically oriented consciousness. However, the land of the British Isles is imprinted with megalithic spirals and stone forms that have intensely imprinted the intuitive faculties of the inhabitants. This phenomenon has no logic to it. It is forcing a logically oriented society to recognize something that makes no sense, and is being done in a very playful and obvious way without creating a threat to anyone's view of reality. If ships were to land everywhere, people would get upset. When corn lies down in concentric circles and doesn't even break or die, no one really gets too upset. Do you understand how energies play with you? It is necessary to do certain things so that you can get it and figure it out without having your circuits overloaded. This language is being introduced onto the planet as a story, a glyph of information that holds a frequency to assist you in holding your own frequency. As you awaken, it is easy for others to read you and recognize you. You are monitored all of the time because there are devices that monitor the evolution and location of consciousness. Once consciousness has reached a certain place, assistance is brought from the outside to establish other realms of that frequency. In other words, say you open a restaurant and it is a big hit. You run and maintain and it's selling good food. Then someone comes along and says, hey, how about franchising? Let's get you everywhere. These geometric shapes help you franchise the frequency by spreading it all over the planet and holding it. They bring you to a new level of attainment. And I should also mention that The Story of England is Drinvalo McKelzadek's CD. And it's very interesting how he connects the history of England to the crop circles. Expanding on the idea of the crop circles, the spiral is one of the basic forms of the language of light geometry, and it is a bridge, a teaching unto itself. The form of it is coded with information, and when you ride the spiral, it is seemingly non-ending. This shows you that the journey into yourself is non-ending, and that the journey outside yourself is non-ending. You as a species will be able to split your consciousness and go in both directions so that consciousness can be connected by taking the non-ending journey within and the non-ending journey without. You link yourself up into a connected spiral in which there is universal truth. This is information from Pleiadians. And we have said that the cells in your body contain the entire history of this universe. Ideally, you will come to realize the existence of this golden library within yourselves during this lifetime and learn how to read what is there. Taking the spiral within is one part of the journey. The trick is to both go within and go without and to realize that they are the same. The spiral exists in many dimensions. When you visualize the spiral, you will feel that you have known it. Yet at first, you are only knowing one aspect of it. When you begin to grow with the spiral, you will realize that it has so many dimensions that you could spend the rest of eternity, to use your term, exploring it. It grows. The spiral is the key to tapping into what is inside you. Your DNA is the form of a spiral. Spirals are all around you, and the language of light rides upon the light-encoded filaments that also descend in spiral form. This is something that is experimental, and it will grow for you. In your meditation, feel yourself riding a spiral like you would ride a tornado. Visualize yourself seeing a spiral approaching that is like a tornado. Then instead of running from it, stand there and feel yourself whirled up inside of it. Ride it, for it is a doorway to other realities. The language of light, geometrical shapes and forms are collections of experiences of individuals who have incarnated in this planet, defied the human laws, awakened themselves to high abilities, and then manifested themselves as language and geometric components. Once these energies existed as men and women on this planet, they have evolved themselves into geometric symbols, and they exist in their sphere of activity just like you exist in your body. These entities exist in the language system or geometric system. There are universes of these systems, and there are visitations into your own universe from those universes at this time. There are circles and other shapes being put upon this planet in the grain fields that are inexplicable as far as you are concerned. These imprints are a frequency, not a process or action. There is a strong and a strong story and a song or language that is being implanted on the surface of Earth with language symbols. And these symbols come to establish a certain frequency, and they are going to increase. Eventually, some of you will build houses there that are geometrical shapes that are not simply squares or rectangles. Many of the dwellings in the Pleiades do not have shapes as you know them. And it is understood that shapes and angles hold energy. In astrology, it is understood that certain angles have power points and that certain things happen within certain angles. It is the same with shapes. The Great Pyramid is about the use of angles and shapes. Energy collects in angles, in shapes, and in forms, and you can learn to create these shapes and live in and around them. Energies are formed and transmitted in this way. You will also discover that certain degrees have certain powers and that some angles are very uncomfortable for you to be in. It is sometimes better to sleep in the middle of a room rather than having your bed jammed into a tiny 90-degree angle, because the 90-degree angle creates an energy lock. In the middle of the room, the energy flows around you. I think also interesting to note is that the Egyptian pyramids are like the Egyptian healing rods. In fact, because they are forged in the pyramids, utilizing the Egyptian healing rods is like being in a pyramid every day. And also the Russian studies with torsion fields indicate how powerful torsion fields are, and of course the primary source of torsion fields is the center of the galaxy, but the Earth also has its own torsion fields. This whole idea of the spiral was also expanded upon in much of the material that was discussed by Archangel Michael. That was information from the Infinity Codes 2007 as channeled by Celia Fenn. And Celia says to Archangel Michael, can we talk a little bit about the spirals of consciousness? The Arcturian infinity hologram is clearly a series of spirals. And why are the spirals so important? And Michael says, well, what we would like to call the natural movements of consciousness in the cosmos is a spiral. Think of the spiraling arms of the great galaxies, all the way down to the spirals of the DNA within your cells. Everything is constructed on geometric grids or fields based on circles and spirals. And that is the natural rhythm or flow of consciousness. Now, each being has its own personal rhythm or flow. Part of the deep physiological and biochemical changes in the human body at this time are aimed at disconnecting your physical reality from a controlled linear perception to a more natural cycle that is tuned to the cosmic pulse and spirals in harmony with the cosmic pulse, that which we call the breath of God. All living intelligences pulse. And when one is aligned with the pulsations of divine creative intelligence through the pulsations of the galactic heart or the great central sun, your own natural rhythm or spirals synchronize with these larger spirals. This involves a shift in the time clock in your cells and in your brain that has been wired to linear time and a progression of consciousness which is short and entirely out of sync with the cosmic pulse. Now you're being rewired to live in harmony with the cosmic pulse and to live longer lives that spiral naturally and gracefully with the flows of divine creative intelligence. So your ascension symptoms are evidence of your body feeling the physical effects of being rewired to a different rhythm of life that is attuned to the cosmic pulse, but also very individual to you. The crystal children, and now the blue star children, are attuned to this pulse already. That is why so many of them are diagnosed as ADD. They move to their own rhythms and cannot be controlled into the rigid frame of school programs. Many adults are also releasing the rigid structures of work for more flexible ways of supporting themselves. For each person has an individual rhythm that may not lend itself to the 9-to-5 life. Finding your own rhythm is as important as finding your passion and creativity. These things all work together to ensure that you function at your optimum soul potential as a creator. We will say, too, that it is the presence of the blue star children who have entered the planet in the last few months that is accelerating this process. We have called it activating your galactic light body as you reconnect with the galactic pulse or heartbeat. As you make this connection, you naturally move into unconditional love, compassion, and gratitude, for these are the energies of the cosmic pulse and the signature of the crystid or crystal energy. And Celia asked Archangel Michael, can you tell me if the cetaceans are also involved in this process? And he says, yes, indeed. The whales and dolphins are already tuned into the cosmic pulse. Anyone who spends time in their presence or who works with them is going to have a powerful entrainment experience where the power of the galactic energy in the cetacean's aura will reset the rhythms in the human physiology, often creating miracle cures as things that are in dis-ease and discomfort shift into more natural rhythms. And Celia says, people ask me if we will move into complete chaos with everyone doing their own thing. Will society collapse? And Michael says, no, not at all. There is an underlying order and structure in the cosmic pulse. We call it the rhythm of the nine, and it is, in fact, encoded into your linear calendar. But before we discuss the nine, let us say that you should always remember that divine or cosmic law is abundance, prosperity, and love. Any changes that align humanity more closely with cosmic law as experienced through the cosmic pulse will naturally create more abundance, prosperity, and love, and not the opposite. But people who are accustomed to linear thinking and the illusions of security that go with it are often afraid to allow a new rhythm that seems to have no apparent built-in security clauses. And it is often true that in the transition from one state to another, there is a period of loss and emptiness as the being is rewired to the new frequency and then moves into the natural state of abundance and love. So it requires courage, trust, and acceptance to make the shift. Now, the principle of the nine, here we work with the idea of as above, so below. The ancients in Atlantis and Egypt worked with the nine creative principles or God forces, sometimes called the Council of Nine. And so the creative rhythm of the nine was set into the galaxy as a potential creative spiral. Your system of numbers works on the principle of nine. And as you count a month, for example, you are experiencing three cycles of nine, roughly. Each cycle gives you an opportunity to spiral or move to a higher level of experience and understanding. Of course, there are other number cycles in the galaxy based on 3, 12, and 13, to mention some. These cycles are also part of your experience of consciousness. But we would say that the spirals of conscious evolution right now are also working on 9-year spirals. The cycle that began in 1998, 9, ends in 2007, 9, a new cycle begins in 2008 and ends in 2016. Within this cycle is your key year, 2012. So you can see that there are spirals and cycles within spirals and cycles in cosmic timekeeping. Right now, you are also experiencing the culmination of a grand 26,000-year cycle of the precession of the equinoxes. Also, the shifts of the Mayan and Egyptian calendars. Everything flows along these cycles according to divine will. As humans align with these cycles in a conscious way, they'll feel more at ease and harmony within. And Celia asks, how can we do this? And Michael responds, well, one way is to create conscious ceremonies and rituals to honor these cycles in your own way. For example, at the equinoxes and solstices, you can honor the cycles of the Earth's spiral journey through infinity. And Celia says, we have been guided to create labyrinths at the solstice this year. Can you explain that? And Michael says, indeed, a labyrinth is an Earth circle that expresses the spiral movements of the galaxy. It is a glyph or symbol that awakens spiritual consciousness in the human cells and brain. Walking a labyrinth has the powerful effect of integrating a person into the spirals of the galaxy and its pulses by breaking linear progression and replacing it momentarily with spirals. This attunes the being with the cosmic flow and galactic pulsations, and in many cases, healing and balancing occur as the person is rebalanced. The labyrinth also assists the planet by affirming humanity's connection to the planet through the spiral flows of consciousness. So we would say that your inner guidance is asking you to do a ceremony to affirm your commitment to the unfolding spirals of higher consciousness at this time. As we noted also in the spirals of 9, the 21st of June 2007 resonates to 3, 6, and 9, the triple goddess. The labyrinth is also a symbol of the cosmic womb of the great goddess or feminine principle of God. It is a place of rebirthing and knowledge, so celebrating with this energy will also intensify your connection to the processes of rebirth to higher consciousness and your connection with the divine feminine energy and wisdom. And so we think we have given you enough material at this time. We thank you. And that's from Archangel Michael. Now, interesting to note this concept of the labyrinth. And although it's a lot more difficult on radio than on television, I can give you a quick idea of how to draw a labyrinth. If you take a piece of paper and pencil and draw a large plus sign, and then each side, inside or between the four quarters, you'll draw a horseshoe shape. And thus none of the lines are touching except for the cross in the middle of the plus. So you've got a plus sign with four horseshoe or U-shapes in the other four quadrants with the base of the horseshoe closest to the center of the cross. And then you start with the right-hand quadrant, the outside form of the horseshoe, and connect it to the right side of the cross, and then draw a dot or a small little line in the center of each of the horseshoes, because the next connection will be from the center of the horseshoe in the first quadrant on the right down to the horseshoe in the lower right quadrant, and then similarly just connecting in that way in that direction, and eventually you'll have yourself a labyrinth. And I've seen some photos of these where people can make these at the beach as well, and then you can walk through them. So a practical technique related to the labyrinth. I'd also like to mention at this time that I get a number of emails, usually every week, and I'm starting to keep a log of people's successes utilizing some of Bashar's Big Four, as I call them. And the first one, of course, is the process of taking responsibility, 100% responsibility for your outer experience. And this is based on the principle, I guess, that first came out to the masses as the secret. And I know that that program really got a lot of attention because people that I wouldn't have normally connected with having that kind of information were espousing a lot of the information in The Secret. And the basic content, of course, is that thought creates. And this whole idea, although new to the masses, was being taught by Bashar 25 years ago. I think this is really an interesting fact, because if you go back into the Bashar tapes and lectures, you'll see that all the information that's contained in The Secret was taught by Bashar 25 years ago. So people have been tuned into Bashar for a long time, sort of had a 25-year jump on information. And I think this will also be true with respect to extraterrestrials, because his information about the Shalanaya I don't find anywhere else. And he's really come out and said that the first civilization that we'll have large-scale open public contact with will be the Shalanaya. And he's also mentioned that in the year 2010, which is coming up before too long, there will again be activity in the Arizona area from the Shalanaya. And again in the year 2012, around various sacred sites, there will also be activity from the Shalanaya. And my take on that would be that the key there is the shape of the craft which hovered over the Phoenix area, commonly known as the Phoenix Lights phenomenon, and it's a wedge-shaped craft about a mile in length. I think that'll be quite fascinating to look forward to next year. And with this process of teaching this material 25 years ago, the material that shows up in The Secret, more and more people that I talk to or that email me mention the concept about taking responsibility, because they're starting to see the connection between their thoughts, beliefs, and definitions and emotions and expectations and their outer experience in 3D. And of course, I find this is the critical concept, because for the whole recent history of mankind, we've basically been taught to believe that the outer world is sort of happening to us and that we are powerless. And also, many times place ourselves in positions where we blame and complain and justify our circumstance, which in Bashar's terminology is a key indicator of victim consciousness. So in many ways, until this information has really come out, and in my mind, it's come out through the whole process of extraterrestrial information, because if you go way back to the core, as I mentioned, Bashar and some of his students like Marilyn the Magician and Abraham Hicks, all this information is coming through, as well as the Seth material as well, was another one of those channeled informations that came through to assist mankind to deal with this important concept, which is taking responsibility. And responsibility, again, doesn't mean that you are to blame. It means that you have responsibility, the ability to respond. And this ability is really the whole process of getting out of victimhood and claiming your own power, because, as Bashar would say, in order for you to change an outer circumstance, it's important to acknowledge ownership of creating it. The acknowledging of the ownership is what gives you the power to change the outer, because if you're the one that created it, you have the power to change it. If it's just happening to you, then you have a sense of helplessness and hopelessness. And there's no question in my mind that everybody on the planet has issues of victimhood, because for thousands and thousands of years, that's the only concept we've been taught, not that we are powerful spiritual beings, or not that we are responsible for creating our own outer experience, but that it's just sort of happening to us. And many of these beliefs that we have been passed down from our initial caregivers. Apparently in the first 6 or 7 years of life, for the most part, we're just downloading beliefs from initial caregivers. And so a part of the process of maturity is to get to a point where we thank our parents for those great ideas that they gave us and foundations, and as well to be able to recognize some of the beliefs that no longer serve us or that were inaccurate. And of course, some of the New Age programs like Changing Core Beliefs, which I highly recommend from Bashar's information and tapes that are at www.bashar.org. And I mentioned last week the YouTube experiment 001 and experiment 002 that's now for free on the internet from Bashar. And that's the most powerful technique that I've ever used with respect to transforming core beliefs. And it is absolutely free right out there on YouTube for those who can tune into it. And it actually involves a 90-day program of meditating on certain geometric shapes, one in particular the jagged spiral, as well as logging your dreams, and a few other techniques that are mentioned on the Changing Core Beliefs concept. So I'd highly recommend that one. And as well, the College of Christ Consciousness also clearly articulates a process for changing beliefs. And it's much like reprogramming a computer, because that's how the mind functions. And the whole concept of taking responsibility for your outer circumstances is clearly also a big aid with respect to understanding that there's really no need for judgment of others. This whole concept of judgment, and in my definition, judgment's when you invalidate someone or some organization. Because when you invalidate them, it takes your energy to that level, and you actually perpetuate that which you are against. That's why all these programs or campaigns, the war against drugs, the war against cancer, the war against this, the war against that, all these wars against things, in my opinion, and many others' opinions, all it does is perpetuate the existence of what it is you're against. You need to be for something positive. You don't get peace by hating war. You get peace by loving peace. So that's the fundamental concept. And, of course, another one of the Bashar Big Four is that outer circumstances don't come with built-in meaning. And this is the one that I invite our listeners to write in. Email me at paperfungo@yahoo.ca. And tell me about some of your experiences utilizing this technique. Because I know if you utilize the technique enough in time, you'll get it and you'll see that it works. And it's just like one man's meat's another's poison, or how one and the same event is both a very positive experience to one person and a negative experience to another. And Bashar sometimes gives the analogy of the person that takes the train to work, and one day they're right on time, but the train seems to have left early, and there they are blaming and complaining the train company for not having a proper schedule and creating a negative scenario, where another person under the same circumstance, the train leaves and you're late, and they just kind of sit down and throw a positive spin on the situation and say, well, something good might come of this. And sure enough, another train pulls up and passengers get off, and a friend that they haven't seen in 10 years, they wanted to connect with, they lost touch with, gets off the train. and the the negative experience was turned into a positive one. So this is an example of how you can utilize this in your own life. And it really is a point of power or a point of magic, because events don't come with built-in meaning. We've been taught in society that it does, or that there's, you know, sort of a consensus, group consensus of reality, that everybody experiences the same way. And that's also really false. And I think one of the things that Bashar is really the first that I know that's come up with this concept, that there is no objective empirical reality. It just isn't one. Reality is what is the experience. And it's like we all live in our own universe, because we all place our own spin on outer circumstance and create our own realities. And there is really no objective empirical. There's the concept of a consensus reality. And actually, according to Bashar, he's actually given an example that there are 20 people in a room. There's actually 20 different universes and 20 different rooms. And the reason that we all experience somewhat the same thing is that we agree to this. So, interesting how, you know, the true nature of reality, and another reason why I like to point to the College of Christ Consciousness. And if you Google search College of Christ Consciousness, and you see in there 20 ideas on the true nature of reality, you'll see that it all connects with extraterrestrial teachings. And we've done shows on this, connecting the teachings of Bashar from 2,700 years in our future to these teachings from the College of Christ Consciousness from back in the early Essene area. And this has got nothing to do with religion. This has got to do with spirituality. And these concepts, the early concepts that were taught, and this was material that's been channeled through Mother Mary by Gene Hatch, and that's the College of Christ Consciousness. And this material also connects with the Seth material and Pleiadian material, Bashar material, and to my way of thinking, they're all, you know, on the same page. And a lot of the information from ET Yoga comes from that, as well as the truths from the ancient yogic masters as well, which also coincides with much of it, although their presentation or style has had a bit of a different focus, let's say. And this whole idea of placing a positive spin on outer circumstance is, my way of thinking, is just huge, because even if you look at a situation such as that most people would view as negative, like the AIDS virus, in the end, it culminated in creating thousands and thousands of young children, parents that evolved from their parents this total immunity from disease. And I know this doesn't get publicized much, but we did a show once on some of the studies that were done at in California with respect to finding some of these children who are immune from disease. And there's literally hundreds of thousands and millions of them now. Doesn't receive any headline news, but they're out there. So something wonderful, you know, came from this apparently negative. And as Bashar would say, there's always two sides to a coin. You can't have only one side of a coin. The other side's got to be there. And really, that's what happens with circumstances. All outer circumstances have, you can think of them as heads and tails. And you can take them negatively or you can take them positively. It's all up to you. And as we all know, some of the so-called negative things that happen in our lives turn out to be the ones that we learn the most from. Even in terms of games, sometimes when we win, you know, we don't think there's anything to learn. But when we lose, we sometimes really look at, you know, why we lost. And just from a learning curve, sometimes the so-called negative has much in a positive to learn from. And this whole idea about state of being and state of being the most important, and as Bashar would say, outer circumstances don't matter, only my state of being matters. What state of being do I prefer? Well, if you prefer joy, you can choose joy and visualize and see in your mind how a person in joy would act in a certain situation and then copy that behavior in your outer world. And when he says that outer circumstances don't matter, it's not that they're insignificant, it's that outer circumstances in themselves don't create more outer circumstances. It's your inner frequency that creates the outer circumstances. And this has also been proven with the neurological system that's been found in the heart, sometimes known as the brain in the heart, which radiates at 5,000 times stronger than the brain in the head and emits an energy field about 10 feet from the body. And thus supporting this whole concept that emotional state is key. It's huge. And even in the game of chess, for example, the two rooks are worth 10, the queen's worth 9.5. And I used to use a symbology that the rooks represented emotion and the queen, the mind, or rational logic. And in point of fact, even though most people consider the queen the most powerful, the two rooks actually have more power. In fact, in chess endings, two rooks generally defeat the queen, depending on the nature of the pawn structure, but usually the queen requires an extra pawn to achieve similar results. And so at any rate, these concepts that Bashar is the main ones, like the taking full 100% responsibility for your outer reflection and putting a positive spin on outer circumstance. In fact, he goes so far as to say that the primary purpose of the rational mind is to put a positive spin on outer circumstance. So I think enough said on that count. And in closing, I'd like to wish you my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance, and hope you tune in again next week. Good night.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.